Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is wonderful to be here tonight. And we're going to sing for a while, of course, like we always do, and then we'll have a Bible study. But before we do anything, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, I come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness towards us, thanking thee for thy mercy towards us, thanking thee, O God, that thou hast brought us together on this night, in this place, to come together to worship thee and to study thy word. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst lead us, guide us, and direct us in all things. Let everything be done here tonight according to thy purpose and thy will. We ask, O God, that thy anointing would be here tonight. We ask that thy spirit would be upon each and every one of us. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost, we pray. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst inspire us this night to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we are going to start with number 15 tonight, The Windows of Heaven Are Open.
The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything.
It's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to have this opportunity to worship the Lord. And it's not the fact that I'm up here that makes this special. It's not the fact that Mom's here that makes this special, but it's the presence of the Lord that makes this special. And it is such a wonderful thing to be in His presence. So why don't we go to that chorus, number 26, right now and sing, In His Presence There's Fullness of Joy.
In His presence there's fullness of joy. At His right hand pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine. I am His in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. blesses forevermore. Oh,
number 48 and sing, "They That Wait Upon the Lord." They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Does give us strength, and sometimes we have to do things that aren't very easy. I know I've been extraordinarily busy for the last 2 weeks or so, and it seems like there's just one thing after another that I had to do. And you know, I started writing the newsletter on Sunday night, and it wasn't going very well on Sunday night. I was too tired, and I think I ended up just writing two or three paragraphs, and that was it, and then I went to bed. But, you know, the Lord does give us strength, because on Monday I wrote just about the whole thing. I think I wrote 95% of that newsletter in just one day, and I'd never written it that quickly before, but I do thank the Lord for the strength that He gives us, and I know that I would be completely helpless without Him. We all would be. Yes. Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing."
That's right.
But the Apostle Paul also wrote, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So praise the Lord for that. Why don't we go to number 91 and sing without him? We go to number 84 and sing, I Need Jesus. Jesus. What we'll do now is switch to the hymnal, the Melodies of Praise hymnal, and I believe the number I'm looking for is 163. Yes, 163 in the hymnal, I Need Thee Every Hour. Collection. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for thy blessings, for thy love and thy care towards us, for thy sustaining power, for all that thou hast done for us, and giving us this place where we can come together and gather in thy name and worship thee and study thy word. And we thank thee, O God, for all thy precious gifts. And I pray, Lord, that thou hast continued to lead us, guide us, and direct us in all things. Give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used and distributed for the cause of thy name. I ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I've got a prayer request here for Vicky's sister-in-law. Her name is Mary, and apparently she had to go to the emergency room yesterday, was there for most of yesterday, and they admitted her to acute care at the hospital. She's still there. They're not sure what's wrong, but it seems serious, so we're going to pray for her right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Mary, praying, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven in this time of distress. We pray, Lord, that thou hast comforted her in this time of distress, and we pray, Lord, that thy healing virtues would flow. We ask, Lord, that thou hast given her great faith. Oh, Lord, we inspire her to seek thy face, to seek thy will, to seek thy healing power, Lord. Help her to draw nigh to thee, we pray. I ask, Lord, that thou hast touched her from heaven. Let her feel thy presence. Let her know that thou art right there with her, oh, Lord, and that thou art a very present help in trouble if we would just seek thee. I pray, Lord, that thou hast help her as she's there and with whatever this mysterious problem is. I pray, Lord, that thou hast guide the doctors so that they can find the cause and find the solution, we pray. We ask for a complete healing and a complete deliverance. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word tonight. And that was a chorus I like to sing quite often, and you know, it's just I never get tired of this one, and it's number 128 in the chorus book. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Why don't we sing that right now?
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his strangely dim.
Well, with that thought in mind, we will turn this over to Shirley. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise God. I am very glad that we can turn our eyes upon Jesus. I think that's one of my dearest songs too, really. You know, it's just so true. When you really get in God's presence, everything else fades out. And I just couldn't help but think as we were singing that, you know, when we get to heaven, and we're in the presence of the Lord, and we see Him face to face, and everything else is behind us. I'll tell you what, oh my, it's going to be glorious. Because I'll tell you what, if these little times that we have in God's presence right now are glorious, how much more when it's all behind us, and we're there, and you know, this world is over, and we don't have to worry about the things of this world, and to any extent at all. It's you know, it's beyond us. And we're there in His presence, seeing Him face to face, dwelling in the light of His countenance. I'll tell you what, it's going to be glorious. It is really going to be glorious. We get little glimpses down here. And I love it. I love the moments when His presence comes down and we can feel His presence. Because He does, when we draw nigh to Him, He does draw nigh to us. You know, it's a matter of getting our minds off all these silly things in this world, these temporary things, you know, these things that are here but for this time. It's a matter of getting our minds off from it and resting in the Lord and letting Him come down, flood our soul and dissolve all the cares of this world. You know, there's just nothing like it. And I'm very thankful. You know, there's just nothing like that, being in God's presence. And I'll tell you what, if you just get to that place, the things of this world, they fade out. They just fade out. I tell you, that is true. I know as a child, I just could remember how wonderful those Sunday nights were to me. They were just wonderful times because it was just what I always looked forward to is after the preaching, I wanted to pray, and I thank God the preaching was convicting, and I, you know, all I knew is I wanted to be alone with God and get in that place where His presence would come down, and I just found it so true that, you know, just everything else would go. My cares for the week or the next school semester or whatever, all the next assignment or things I had to face, they were gone because there was something so greater than that, so much greater than that, and that's being in God's presence and feeling that touch. Oh, yes, when He comes down and touches us, and all at once, oh, we know what really matters. You know, the things of this world are so temporary. We're just here for a moment. You know, our life is but a vapor. It's going to be over one in these minutes. But praise the Lord, we can have those times with the Lord. We can have fellowship with God, with the Creator. He's restored the thing that was missing when Adam and Eve sinned and they lost that special fellowship with the Lord. Or He used to walk with them in the cool of the evening, didn't He? But oh my, it's been restored because though we haven't seen Him yet, we can feel Him. We know He's real. We know that He's touched us. We get glimpses of His glory, and oh, praise the Lord. When two or three are gathered together, there He is in our midst. Gathered together in His name, there He is in our midst. And what a wonderful thing it is. You know, we can sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We can have a feel for the things that are beyond this world. And I love that.
Yes, those times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. He comes down and all at once, you know, this world is just trivial anyway. You know, we can feel the Lord. And, oh, wow, those touches that come from Him and Him only. No, there's no one like our God. There's nothing like that. I just feel so sorry for people. And it just seemed like so often people seem so stuffy and so unconcerned, you know. You hand them a track or something and they kind of look like it is, you know, like, what could this silly thing be, you know. I mean, you could just about feel it at times how, you know, put off people are. But, oh, praise the Lord, He has put something in us that's wonderful, something that's deep. Something that will take us to heaven, you know, and something that the angels look into. When He fills us with the Holy Ghost, we've got something that the very angels look into. We've got something that the prophets pondered and wondered what that was going to be when they prophesied of the glory that was yet to come. And they didn't know because it was not yet given. Oh, the Holy Ghost had not yet fallen because Jesus was not yet glorified. But praise the Lord, we've tasted of it. We've tasted a little bit of heaven. And, oh my, it's just a glimpse for the reverence. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love You, Jesus. Oh, God, we love the times in Your presence, Lord. Oh, God, we love to feel the touch that comes from You, Lord. Oh, God, we know there's none like You, Lord Jesus. There's no other God. There's no other Savior, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that You come down tonight. Oh, God, that You touch us. Oh, Lord, oh, God, and oh, Lord, that we'd have that fellowship with You, Lord, that we so desperately need, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that the cares of this world would drop off, oh, Lord Jesus, the things that we can't figure out ourselves. Oh, God, I pray that we could give it all to You, Jesus. Oh, God, for You walk into eternity. You know the end from the beginning, God. And, oh, Lord, You know how to lead us. You know how to guide us. You know how to direct us, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that You bind every interfering spirit, everything, oh, Lord, that would try to get in the way. In the name of Jesus, we do take authority over every intruding spirit, oh, Lord, that would try to come in here, Lord. And I pray, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord, that You would work in our hearts tonight. Oh, God, that You give me words, and I pray, oh, Lord, that You touch us afresh. Oh, God, for pilgrims and strangers down here, God, we need a new touch from Thee, Lord. We need the infilling of the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we need those times in Your presence, Lord. Oh, God, I ask that You would bind the strong man and everything again that would try to interfere in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, give us words of life. Speak to our hearts tonight. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood. Oh, thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise You, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't know, it seemed like at the end of my study today, God was just kind of turning things around. So we'll see how this goes. Oh, praise the Lord. But we're going to be talking about walking in the light. Walking in the light. And if we could just go here to 1 John, the first chapter, and look at verse 7 for a moment. See what the Lord will show us here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. You know, at the very beginning of the creation, in the beginning, actually before the Lord began to work His handiwork, you know, this world was darkness. Everything was darkness. It was darkness. The presence of the Lord hadn't touched it yet. Yeah, and it was just darkness. But God began to work, didn't He? Oh, He began to work, oh, in that void, in that emptiness there, and oh, in that place, oh, Lord, that He was going to begin to create. And all at once there was light, because God said, let there be light. He brought light into this world. And then how much more when the Lord Jesus came as the Son of God, as he came to touch men. Oh yes, we know he came unto his own, and they didn't receive him. But thank God, as many as received him, gave him power to become the sons of God, even them that believe upon his name. And what a beautiful thing that is. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, didn't he? He told us that, and because he is the light. If his spirit dwells in us, then we become that light. And Jesus said that a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. If that light is in us, it cannot be hid. It's going to shine. Because I'll tell you, we're surrounded by darkness. It's dark everywhere we look. It's terribly dark. But praise the Lord, you know, when God began to work his creation and the light came all at once, there was something to see, wasn't there? There was a difference. And praise the Lord, God put on flesh so that he could come to this world and set us free. He was bringing light. Oh, he was shining upon us. Oh, I turned right to it. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 60, where it says, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Yes, that's how dark it was. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy coming. Oh, that's what it was. It was gross darkness in this world. It covered everything. It covered the people. It covered the earth. But God came to this world as the Son of God, as a light. Oh, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Praise the Lord. And there it was. There were Gentiles that came to his light. Oh, yes, there were wise men that came from the east. And I don't believe in the three story. Because I'll tell you, if you continue in this chapter, it tells about the multitudes of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephrah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. And they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Yes, they came to the light. They saw the star in the east, and they knew that there was a king that had been born, and they came. They were drawn to come. And it talks about all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee, the rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, the shepherds came to, didn't they, when Jesus was born? Oh, yes, as the host of angels came and ministered to them, and they realized, oh, yes, that the king had been born. Oh, yes, they came to the light. And praise the Lord. If he's called us, praise the Lord, we've also had this privilege of coming to the light. Oh, praise the Lord. We've also had this privilege as his children, as he called us out of outer darkness. We're all in the dark. Oh, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all needed a Savior. But praise the Lord. In the third chapter of John, it tells us, and verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have ever eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that was our condition, condemnation, before the light of the Lord Jesus shown upon us, revealed himself to us. And that state of condemnation, as it says, Jesus didn't come to this world to condemn it. No, it was already in sorry condition. It was already condemned. It was in sore need of a Savior. But he came upon the scene with that very intention to reach out, to touch us, to give us hope in this world. Oh, what a beautiful story it is. And it tells us in verse 19 here, this third chapter of John, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And that's quite a revelation there, because there's a lot of people that don't want to come to the Lord Jesus, because when that light shines, it's going to reveal things. You know, the sneaky things, the hidden things, the naughty things, the nasty things, the cover-ups, all of that, all the things that people are trying to conceal, you know, appearing like they're a good person. And, you know, that philosophy, there's a little good in everyone. There's so many things that people believe that are so contrary to Scripture. But, you know, that light is going to expose sin. And a lot of people don't want that sin to be exposed. They're trying to hide it. They're trying to conceal it. So, you know, it's a big cover-up. So, you know, oh my, I can't come to the light. And, you know, it's going to show me who I really am. But praise the Lord, if we could humble ourselves as a young child, as a little child, and come to the Lord Jesus. If we could just do that, if we could just acknowledge our sin and realize who we are, and in our nasty condition, our hopeless condition, the condemnation that was upon us, and we could just do that, we could just come to the Lord Jesus and admit that we're a sinner, that we need help. Well, then there was hope, wasn't there? Yes, if we, you know, yes, our deeds would be reproved. But praise the Lord, what a beautiful thing. Because Jesus made a way, didn't he, that we could be forgiven our sins. Oh yes, that old past could go away, that we could be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and come up a new creature in Christ with those sins gone, remitted in those waters. Oh, what a plan he has. If we just come to the light, we just admit that we're a sinner, and come to the light and give it to the Lord. Give it up. You know? Oh, let it be God. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Oh, God. Oh, would he made it possible that we could be redeemed and that we could come to him. What a beautiful privilege and opportunity he has given us. And here we are. You know, if we've been obedient to the gospel and come to him, then we don't have to walk in that darkness, do we? We don't have to walk in that darkness. And I'll tell you what, it's about time that people awaken from their sleep, from their lethargy, from the darkness, from, you know, all the vain things that they believe that are so false, and, you know, going to send them to hell if they don't repent. I'll tell you what, it's a glorious thing when the Lord begins to show it to us. And it's high time, because one of these days he's coming. He's coming as a thief in the night, isn't he? Oh, yes, all at once, everything is going to be different. There's going to be an explosion like never before. Oh, yes, the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. And the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And the earth also, and all the works that are therein are going to be burnt up. It's going to end one of these days. It's going to be over. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, it tells us, but of the times and the seasons, brother, and you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Oh, yes, he's going to come suddenly and unannounced. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. and they shall not escape. It's going to be over. It's going to be over. An unexpected world. People that, you know, think every day is alike, pretty much, and, you know, probably laugh at, you know, people that say the Lord is coming soon. But it's going to happen. As sure as I'm standing here tonight, it's going to happen. He's going to come. But praise the Lord, it tells us here in verse 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness, so that that day should overtake you as a thief. We don't have to be taken unaware. Oh, praise the Lord, because He's given us His Word. He's come to us as the Holy Ghost, and He's in our life. And, you know, we don't have to walk in darkness, and we don't have to be overtaken as a thief. Tells us, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So it tells us, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. But it says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Oh, see, we've got something. Oh, we've got a helmet that we can put on, the hope of salvation. We've got a breastplate that we can wear, the breastplate of faith and love. You know, we've got something that's armor, and something that's a shield, something that can keep us. Oh, yes, we've got great hope in the Lord. It tells us, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. Oh, yes, there's wrath that's going to come upon this world like it's never seen before. Oh, man, He's going to come. One of these days is going to be as a thief in the night, and it's going to be so over. So over. But praise the Lord, He tells us in the first chapter, 1 Thessalonians, the 10th verse, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, yes, He's delivered us from that wrath that's going to hit this earth. And, you know, it tells us about that wrath in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Just reading a little bit of it. Here it tells us, verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed. I tell you what, oh, it's going to be worth everything at that moment if we're in Jesus Christ. If we believe the good report, if we believe the testimony, oh yes, if we're one of the saints, it's going to be worth everything. Oh, praise the Lord. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, He's gonna come one of these moments. But praise the Lord, we don't want to be unaware. We don't want to be taken in that snare, because it's going to be a snare to so many. Oh yes, it talks about that in Luke, the 21st chapter, how He's coming as a snare. It tells us in Luke 21, verse 34, to take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. See, who's looking for Him? We are to watch. We are to wait. We are to be looking for our Lord to return. We are to be occupying until He comes. We are to be doing the will of our Father, which is in heaven. We can't lay down our guard and go easy, you know. We can't think we're going to take a vacation from the Lord and, you know, think, well, you know, I just deserve a little time off. You know, I'm just going to go to that party tonight, and, you know, I'm just going to, you know, go to that tavern, or, you know, I'm going to go drink that beer or smoke that cigarette or whatever. All I, you know, there's people that think that way. But we need to take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. I guarantee there's going to be so many people that aren't looking for Him. And of course, it tells us in the 24th chapter of Matthew that when He comes, to most people, it's going to be normality. It sounds very much like normality. I'll go there in a minute. It tells us back in Luke here, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So, yes, this will be the night, isn't it? Unannounced, all at once, a snare, a trap. All at once, it's going to be a snare on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So here, we are told to watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Because, oh yes, suddenly He's going to be here and His wrath will be poured out like never before as yes, the Big Bang happens and all at once there's no more earth. Oh, wow. But to so many people, it's going to be like a normal time. They are going to be taken up in that snare. It tells us in Matthew 24, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Describes them there in verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Just like another day. Just doing the things that were normal. The things that they had planned. Hadn't listened to Noah. No, hadn't listened. You know, but why? He's kook, isn't he? You know, he's a strange man. You know, it's never rained before. It's like a rain, you know. How could it? But Noah had heard from God. Noah had been warned, and Noah had enough sense to listen. And praise the Lord, it tells us he entered into the ark. And so did his family. There were eight that entered into that ark. And it says, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh, it was sudden, you know. And I can imagine that once that door was closed, they all wanted to get in, didn't they? I'm sure they must have wanted to get in. You know, all at once it began to rain, and they realizing that Noah wasn't such a kook after all. And all at once, they began to realize that they really should have listened to him, and all at once, it's too late, because God had shut the door. There was no way to open it. There was no way to open it. And so it is right now. There's an open door. God stands at that door. The Lord Jesus stands at that door and knocks at our heart, doesn't he? And if any man will open that door, Jesus will come in and sup with him. And he was Jesus. So it is, if any man will open that door. But right now, we have opportunity. Right now, we have an open door. Right now, we have time. Right now, we can come to the Lord Jesus. But just as God shut that door on that ark, He's going to shut that door of salvation. It's going to be over one of these days. Oh yes, an angel is going to stand one foot on the land, one foot in the sea, declare that time shall be no more. It is going to be over. It tells us here in Matthew 25, not only talking about the time of Noah, but then it says, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Just normal things. Just normal things that you do every day, but one has expectations in their heart. One has made its her or his life right with the Lord. One is looking and watching for Jesus to return, the other forgot, neglected, ignored, put it off. Tells us, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. We don't know the time of his coming. He has people predict it from time to time, and you know, say this and say that, but we don't know. We're not going to be told. But what we are told is to watch. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. It talks about getting ready. And I think we all know that, you know, if you're preparing for something, you've got an event or something, you know, you have guests that are coming, you're going to get ready, right? If you're expecting somebody, you're going to make preparations. But here, so much more, because the Son of Man is going to come. And it says, therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Oh yes, God will have a people. He will have a bride who has made herself ready. He's going to have faithful, wise servants who are waiting for their Lord to return, and they are doing their master's will. They're listening to his voice. They're occupying until he comes. They're faithful. And it says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Oh yes, we come to the Lord. But that's not the end of it, is it? That's not the end of it. It's not, you know, just once saved, always saved. And therefore, you know, we can just go about what we always did. And we cited that prayer, so now it should all be well. There's more to it. Yes. We've got to give our hearts to the Lord, yes. We've got to repent. Oh my, we better repent. And Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And yes, he commanded us to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And he promised us the gift of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of other tongues as he comes into our life. But that's not the end. Because every day needs to be a walk with the Lord. Every day is another opportunity. Yes, God's mercies are new every morning. And we need him every morning. We need him every day. We need him. We need to come to him every day. Every day could be a fresh start. Every day we need to make sure that we're in the Lord and we haven't let something slide, and you know, we haven't forgotten, and you know, there's not something that tried to creep in and take advantage of us and overcome us. Sins of this world, cares of this world. Oh my, something else that tried to creep in. And praise the Lord. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Yes, going about his Father's business. His master's business, giving his household meat in due season. In other words, occupying, doing the will of our Father that is in heaven. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, God has given us something to hang on to. Oh, he's put a hope in our heart, the hope of salvation. And I'll tell you what, it's worth hanging on to, because, you know, if we're like that evil servant, okay, I'm just going to take it easy for the time period. You know, I could go liberal today. Oh, yeah. And there was actually a guy that, you know, actually, pastor knew that, actually said that, I'm going to go liberal today. I'll tell you what, yeah, he might have went liberal one day, and pretty soon he wasn't serving the Lord at all. Oh, man. Last I knew, he was in prison. But I'll tell you what, no, you can't get careless. You can't get indifferent. You can't begin to forget the things that matter the most, your eternal destination, the things that you need to do for the Lord. You can't begin to let them slip. You know, you don't want to become like that evil servant that says in his heart, my Lord, delay is coming. So I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to do what I feel like doing. You know, I'm just going to forget about all this old fogey stuff and you know, it's going to be normal. No, I'll tell you what, it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus and you know, hear him say, well done. We've got something to live for. We've got something to die for. We've got something that is deep within us. And oh, wow. We stand before God. We're going to need that light. We're going to need to be walking in the light as he is the light, because otherwise he's going to see right through us. He's going to see if our heart isn't right. I mean, we're going to know it too. There's no way we could look at a holy God with sin in our life. There's no way. I'll tell you what, I guess it's become old fashioned to preach against sin, but I'll tell you what, sin does not enter into heaven. We are told to repent. You know, there is no way you can continue in sin and have your heart right with God. We've got to come to him day by day. We've got to let go of the things of this world. We've got to give it to the Lord and commit it to him and trust him. Oh, yes, to forgive us our sins. Oh, yes, and so he will, for he has promised. We will come to him that he is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins. Oh, yes, to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Oh, what a precious thing it is. But we can't afford to get careless and forget the Lord and get negligent. Forget, you know, the things that matter. Oh, yes, we're told to gather ourselves together. And even much the more as we see the day approaching. We're told to assemble together. Oh, yes, we know that we need our lamps trimmed and burning. It's not going to happen if we're not down on our knees seeking the Lord, asking him to fill us with the Holy Ghost, to refill us with the Holy Ghost, to, oh, yes, put it bright and burning within us. You know, there in the 25th chapter of Matthew, there were five virgins. Yes, they were called virgins. And they must have had a walk with the Lord at some point, but it seems to me they got a little careless. They weren't as diligent as they needed to be. And you know, they knew there was going to be a celebration. There was going to be a wedding, and then they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. But they forgot something. They forgot, you know, we don't know when he's coming precisely. We don't know. But so we maybe better take a little extra oil with us just in case, because, you know, we know, you know, he's coming, you know, one of these minutes, you know, it's pretty soon, a few hours from now or something, you know, but not exactly. And, you know, five of them forgot to bring extra oil, didn't they? And yes, the bridegroom seemed to delay. He didn't come exactly as soon as they thought. And you know, there was a pause. All 10 of them slumbered and slept there for a bit. As you know, he hadn't called yet. All at once, there was that call. that sound, that trumpet, that announcement that there he was, and they needed to prepare to meet him. And all at once they got up and realized they had no oil. The oil had gone out. Oh yes, we need to be charged with the Holy Ghost. We can't afford to get careless in our walk with the Lord. We can't afford to forget to pray and to turn everything over to the Lord. We can't forget to come to the house of the Lord, you know, and just think, well, you know, there's that program on the television today, and, you know, it's only on right now, and, you know, if I don't stay home and watch it, then I'll never get to see it. I mean, excuses that people make. God's not going to tolerate excuses. Oh, I'll tell you what, he's not going to tolerate them at all. He looks very poorly at excuses. And, you know, we better do the things that matter. We can't afford to get careless in our walk with the Lord. It tells us in Hebrews, the second chapter, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. See, there's a potential. We're all human. And, you know, we all have things, you know, that come in the way and try to intervene. You know, I'll tell you what, if you start making excuses, I'll tell you what, they'll pop up like leaks. I know they will, because, oh, well, the devil will always give you some reason. He'll always give you some excuse. You know, I don't feel quite right, or, you know, Aunt Martha may come today. I got to prepare for this other occasion. I mean, there's always going to be some excuse if we allow excuses in our life. And I'll tell you what, it's quite the thing. You know, if you start overlooking those excuses, like, you know, I don't feel quite right, you know, but I'll tell you what, if you start overlooking some of those things, all at once, you'll begin to change. You'll find that the Lord will give you victory. And, you know, those funny little illnesses and pains and all those things that pop up will suddenly start going away. The Lord knows how to give us victory. I know he does. I've seen it happen. But I'll tell you what, if you're looking for excuses, there'll always be something. Because something will not be quite perfect or quite right, or there'll be, you know, some reason, some scenario, you know, some long shot, short shot, I don't know, something that will come up. But I'll tell you what, we can overcome those things. And we need to, because here it tells us, Hebrews the second chapter, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Oh, the things that are in God's Word. I'll tell you what, you can't get enough of it. You know, I'll turn to a chapter, and I might have read it, Lord knows how many times, but I'll think, I need this again, God. I'm beginning to forget this. I'm beginning to forget that. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing me here. We can't let those things slip. Our natural tendencies. Oh, yes. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. All praise the Lord. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How many people put it off? The most important thing that they need to consider, their eternal destination. How many people put it off? How many people serve the Lord for a little season and then, you know, just get careless, get forgetful, you know, begin to put it off, begin to let things slip, you know. I'll tell you what, if you don't stay in this word, if you don't continue to give it heed, pretty soon you kind of start forgetting it. Little by little, piece by piece, you know, you kind of just go away all at once, you know, you'll be thinking like everybody else, I imagine. But we've got to consider what really matters in this world. Oh, yes, and let the Lord work in such a way that we are on fire for the Lord, and that light that He's given us, the light of the gospel, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, is shining brightly in our hearts. Because I'll tell you what, you talk about a candle. You know you light that candle. And if you don't watch it carefully, it's going to, you know, eventually it won't be burning anymore. Or if you've got an oil lamp, you know, eventually it's going to lose its oil. If you're not watching it, if you're not pouring more oil into that lamp from time to time, eventually it will run out of oil. And so it is with our spiritual life. If you don't keep coming to the light, you don't keep coming to the Lord Jesus, you know, eventually there's not going to be light. There's not going to be the oil for your lamp. We've got to continually keep it refilled. We've got to continually come to the light. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. If we go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, I think it can tell us a bit more how we need to and how we can continue to walk in the light. Tells us in the first verse here in Ephesians 5, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Look at this, is plain talk. This is plain talk. So many people, you know, do this and do that and just think, you know, I can get by with that. They compare themselves with the man next door and think, I'm not so bad. I'm a pretty good guy. But I'll tell you what, as I said already, there are things that we can't do. Sin is going to enter into heaven. A little leaven, it's going to upset the whole lump. You know, you can't allow sin into your life. So it tells us, again, plain talk. "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Oh yes, the light and the darkness don't mix. And we're not, we're supposed to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean things, and he will receive you. We're not supposed to have, as it tells us right here, fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But yes, you see, if the light is shining in our hearts, we're going to reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And again, as we read in the third chapter of John, so many don't want to come to the light because it's going to shine on sin. It's going to reprove them on their sin. They're going to have to acknowledge that sin if they want to be free of it. If that light's going to expose it. So it tells us again here, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. They're revealed by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And what a wonderful thing. We were all in the dark. We were all dead in our sins. And what a wonderful thing when the Lord began to deal with us. What a wonderful moment when all at once we could realize we could come to the light and lay down that burden of sin, that heavy load off our back, and give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, who bid us to come unto him. Oh, yes, come unto me, all ye that labor, are heavy laden. Yes, oh, he bid us to come, did he? Oh, he said, his yoke was easy and his burden was light. And he offers that we can bring it to him, that heavy weight of sin, that we can bring it to him. And what a beautiful thing when he said, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And it tells us, see them that walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, yes, with discretion and carefulness, with caution, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Oh, and are they evil? Oh, how can we redeem the time? We can redeem it by doing our Father's will, by doing the things that matter. That's how we can redeem the time. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Again, doing his will, doing the things that matter, staying away from sin, shunning it, wanting nothing to do with it, hating the filthy garment that's been corrupted by sin, and all these things that you know are of the world. Wherefore, be not unwise, as those foolish virgins who didn't have the extra oil, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Oh, yes, praise the Lord, keeping that oil in our lamps, being filled with the Spirit, being renewed with the Holy Ghost day by day, so that, we don't run out of it. Oh, so that we're always watching and waiting for our Lord to come back, and our lamps trimmed and burning. And here's what we can do. It tells us, speaking to yourselves, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh yes, he puts a song of praise in our hearts, a song of praise to our God. And oh, it's beautiful when it comes out. You know, we walk around with something deep within talking to us, inspiring us, a song of praise. a melody that comes from the Lord to our heart from His. And it tells us giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's one way we can be ready. That's one way we can understand what the will of the Lord is. Going forth, living in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit. It says, they that are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Oh, yes, we need to know what it's like to follow that voice of the Holy Ghost that speaks to our soul. It gives us the directive that we need for the day, the motives, the intents, you know, the will of our Father, the things that He will reveal to us if we're walking in the light, even as He is light. Oh, praise the Lord. And we could do that with His help. If we walk in the light, yes, He is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, don't we? And that blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. All sin, praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing it is. Romans, the 13th chapter. It tells us, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Praise the Lord. Everything that's of the world, everything that is from beneath, everything that is of the devil, those are works of darkness. They need to be cast off like filthy garments, filthy rags, things that we don't tolerate, things that we begin to hate. Instead, let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If we put Him on, then we're walking in the light. Then the light that was in Jesus Christ will be in us. It will be shining in us so that we can see. You know, if you're walking through the woods during the night and you don't have a flashlight, I don't think you're going to see very well. You know, maybe a full moon might help a little bit, but I tell you what, I wouldn't want to do it. I'd probably bump into trees and fall on a stone for all I know, and you know, God only knows the things that we would miss. You're walking in the dark, in the woods. But how true is that spiritually with so many people who are in the dark, and we've all been in the dark until the light of the glorious gospel came and shone upon us, and all at once we could see, and all at once we could understand. Oh, yes. All at once we could put on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're walking in the light, then you're not going to make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You're not going to want to do the things that displease the Lord. You're not going to want to walk in sin. No. You're going to know the things that matter. You're going to give those filthy things of the past completely to the Lord. And praise the Lord. We know that peradventure we do make a mistake, that we can come boldly before that throne of grace and find mercy to help us in the time of need, and thank the Lord for that. For we all need Him in every way. Let's go one more place here. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So we're going to walk so that we will not be a stumbling block, and there will be no offense in our lives, nothing that's hidden, that, you know, we're trying to conceal from God. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That light isn't shining in us, then we're not reflecting that light to the world that is so in darkness, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh yes, they don't want to come to the light because their deeds are evil, as it tells us, John the 3rd chapter. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh yes, all the glory goes to God, because without Him, we could do nothing. As we sing that song, we would certainly be floating around without any direction, with, you know, anything that made sense, in complete confusion. But praise the Lord, there is one. There's a God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Oh, yes. The very beginning, when He said, let there be light. And all at once, the light began to shine in, oh, a completely dark world. And He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the plan of God. Oh, yes, the foreknowledge of God that He would come to this earth. Oh, yes, as the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as the light of the world, so that we might see, so that we wouldn't have to walk in the dark, so that we wouldn't have to be blind, so that we could comprehend the things that are beyond us, so that we could escape the damnation of hell. Oh, praise the Lord, that wonderful God in His mercy. Oh, yes, again, who robed Himself in flesh that He might come to this earth as a light of God. Oh, yes, as that burning light, that burning candle. Oh, that all might see with eyes to see, who fear the Lord, and wouldn't mind coming to that light. Oh, yes, it's going to, you know, there's going to be things that, you know, are going to stick out, you know, when you come to the light. Yeah, there's things, oh, yeah, that's snuck into one's life. There's, you know, all those hidden things that, you know, you might be trying to hide. But praise the Lord, it's going to be worth everything to hand it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, to unload it. To give Him that burden of sin, that heavy old load of sin. Oh, yeah, he's such a monster. Oh, you know, oh boy, they completely blind you so you can't see and understand and comprehend and walk in the light even as He is in the light. But praise the Lord, we can bring it to the Lord Jesus. Oh, knowing that He cares for us. Oh, knowing that He died for us. Oh, and knowing, Oh, yes, if we'll renounce those hidden things of dishonesty. Oh, yes, He's going to change us. He's going to make a new creature out of us. You know, He's going to give us hope. He's going to put His Spirit in us so that we don't have to live in sin. You know, we don't have to, walk in the darkness. But we can put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We could put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that that light of the glorious gospel shines through us. So somebody out there who needs help, somebody else that's groping in the dark, can see that there is hope, that there is a way that they can turn to, that there is a knowledge of the glory of God that can be seen. Oh, praise the Lord. We are so blessed, aren't we? We are so blessed, yes. Oh, yes, His coming is soon. That night is far spent, and that day is at hand, that day of His coming. It is high time to wake out of sleep. Because as it says in Romans 13, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Oh, it's nearer. That end of the road is coming up fast. Yes, we know how fast time goes, how days evaporate, how months evaporate, how years disappear. And one day it will be over, won't it? One day it will be over. It's going to be too late to come to the Lord now, but come to the Lord then, rather. But praise the Lord, we can come to Him now. Yes, we can turn our life over. We can let that light shine upon us so that we can see how needy we are, how pathetic we are, how burned down with sin we are. But thank the Lord, we can give it to Jesus. Amen. We can give that burden to Jesus. Oh, yes. And we can walk in the light, even as He is the light. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank You, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for what You've shown us. Oh, God, we thank You for the glorious light of the gospel, Lord. Oh, Lord, that You were so willing to come to this earth, oh, Lord, to bring us salvation. Oh, God, I pray that You'd help us to walk worthily of that high calling. Oh, Lord, the hope that is within us, God. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that, oh, Lord, You'd keep us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, help us, oh, Lord, to continue. Oh, Lord, help us to be diligent in the things, oh, Lord, that we need to do, that we would reprove the world of sin. Oh, God, by walking in the light and reflecting, oh, Lord, that glorious light of the gospel. Oh, Lord, that which You've shown us, that which You've given us, Lord, in Your word. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank You, Jesus.
Well, praise the Lord. Sometimes picking out a closing song is very, very easy. Let's go to number 156 in the chorus book, If We Walk in the Light. If we walk in the light,
as He is in the life, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light,